Cap, Jay Hood.
Our new morning show.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Don't forget, we got baseball today, 3 p.m. Sox, Cubs, and it's a full nine innings. How about that? Right here on your home for the Chicago White Sox all season long. And we are your home for March Madness. We've got our big Dance Cast 2021. That gets going this weekend on Friday. So you can listen to the games all weekend. And then you can find out what we're thinking about, how we're betting the games, what our brackets look like. Waddle, Sylvie, Cap, Jay Hood, Carmen Yurko, Bleck Abdallah, and special guest. Dance Cast 2021. Download the Twitch app. Follow us on the ESPN 1000 Chicago channel. Brought to you by the Chicago Department of Public Health, Wheatman Lawn Care, and Chicagoland Mazda Dealers. It's Friday at 2 p.m. Okay, man, we had this guy in studio when he first got the job. He is awesome. He has taken Illinois back to the dance. People don't realize how much work he had to do to rebuild that infrastructure. The facilities there are second to none now. Yes. And Brad Underwood has got them a number one seed.
Yes, he had to win the championship because his Kansas City Chiefs couldn't pull it down, so he won it for them.
There you go. He took care of it. Take that, Brad. How are you?
Wow. We're throwing low blows right from the jump. I like it. So, man, they win it a year ago. They can't, you know, go back to back. And, man, we're going low early. I like it, Cap. I mean, that's.
No, listen, Coach. Look, I thought that Mahomes was great. He had 200 yards going backwards, but he was great, though. He was great in the Super Bowl. I'm just telling you.
You know, it just shows all that beef up front, man. You got to have it if you're going to win and at the highest level.
So let's talk about your basketball team, because I said before the season that team can win the national title right now. And your team has had, like everyone else, deal with a global pandemic, the stops, the starts, and here you are, number one seed. I think you should have gotten a co-share of the championship, but whatever. You won the tournament, and here you go. How do you feel with what you've accomplished so far?
It's been great. I think the one thing that I've come to appreciate is, one, how good our league is. And how good the coaches are. Winning 19 games against Big Ten opponent, 13 quad one wins, which is more wins than most teams even played quad one games. It speaks to the volume of our league. And to see the growth in our team, I look back at and saw, you know, some of our Baylor game early, and I don't even recognize that team. And to see the growth and the character and the development, the maturity has been very, very rewarding. And, I'm excited for our guys. Io came back, you know, to be in this moment, in the NCAA tournament. And we're playing for a bigger ring. And I like our focus, and I like the way we're playing right now.
Coach, was there a game or half a moment when you thought, you know, my team has a shot to win this Big Ten championship?
You know, I don't look at it that way. The best half we played was the first half against Iowa. Mm-hmm. We were as good offensively in that 10-12 minutes. Now, both of them and Ohio State just scare the heck out of you because they're so gifted offensively. But I don't know if there's been a specific time. I knew we were getting close. As our defensive numbers got better. You know, one time, I mean, mid-year, we were 50th in defensive efficiency, and now I think we're fifth. And you don't get to a Final Four. I think the average defensive efficiency rating in the last 10 years is 15 for Final Four teams. And so we had to make a jump there. We had to make a commitment.
Our guys have done that,
and that's really helped us.
So this is a difficult question. You have a team that you have constructed from the ground up. You have rebuilt everything about that program, and now you are a number one seed. So if at the end of the day you aren't cutting the nets down, how does Brad Underwood look at the season?
Oh, with tremendous success. I, you know, I, I never put a cap. You know me. I never put a timeline on the process. And the one thing that we've accomplished so much, I feel great about where our culture is. It's sustainability, and it's the ability to have guys that want to be around every day, that want to get better, want to improve. There's nights you may look up at the scoreboard and the other team has more points, but overall, I couldn't be happier with where everything is at. I'm pleased we're getting a practice facility redone. State Farm was just year three or four of getting it redone. You know, the infrastructure is in place. I I'll look back at this either way and just be tickled.
Illinois head coach Brad Underwood with us on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Coach, I think a lot of us fans on the outside don't realize how challenging it's been for everyone across the college basketball landscape to try to keep the team together, trying to be able to go through COVID and empty arenas. How difficult has this been for you to try to keep everyone together?
Yeah, all of our players and our coaches deserve a ton of credit because, you know, you really have to like each other. You know, there's been no interaction. Our team doesn't interact with anybody that's been outside of our tier one 30-person group all year long. And they go to their apartments and they have to interact with each other. They have to play cards. They have to play video games with themselves. They can't do it with anybody else. Our freshmen have not been in a college classroom yet. It's just been very different. We've tried to make coming to practice fun and being in our practice facility fun, not a place they dread because they have to do it every day. And so it's made me a better coach, but those guys are to be commended because of their character. They enjoy each other. It's helped strengthen our bond, which is really cool to see.
As you look at a guy like Ayo, and you've got Kofi, who my son yesterday, for my birthday, can I have a Kofi jersey? So I don't know if they sell Kofi jerseys, but like that guy has become this cult figure. They're calling him Shaquille O'Neal over the weekend from Clark Kellogg and Grant Hill. Mm-hmm. What is it like having a guy like Ayo and then this raw prospect in Kofi who have blended together into this unstoppable duo?
Well, I think it's been really fun because, you know, I look at Ayo and somebody showed me a picture of he and I standing side by side his freshman year, and this was before the season started. And you look at his maturity; he's added 30 pounds, he's grown, he's a completely different young man now than he was when he got here. Kofi's the same thing, except magnify that by 10, just because of his inexperience playing the game. And he's just a sponge. He just wants information. He wants to be coached so hard, challenged. He's a guy that, every opponent he plays, he's learning something from the Luka Garzas that he plays. Or last year it might have been the Teskies and whoever. He takes that information and he's able to apply it and put it into his game and learn it. And that's just fun to see. And now you've got both of those guys, great friends, great teammates, and they're both blossoming, and it's really, really a big part of our success.
Coach, I've done my research here. Are you sure Corbello's a freshman? You sure we haven't seen him before? I mean, when we see a young player like that, and just I was telling Cap earlier today, you can see that he loves the game. He's rebounding. He's all over the floor. There's a smile on his face. There's an enjoyment there. I mean, how do you look at Corbello versus other freshmen that you've recruited? Because some freshmen come in, I'm sure they think, wow, this is big. But for Corbello, he plays like a upperclassman.
Well, I think that's one of the great advantages that kids like him have. He played in the FIFA World Games. He's been on the world stage, you know, as a 17-year-old, he was named one of the top five players of the 19 and under championships. He's always played against older people. It's all they do. That's all he's done his entire life in Puerto Rico till he came to the States. And he's a basketball savant. You should see his scouting report. for every opponent. He's just taking all kinds of notes. He's already to a point where, you know, I ask him, what do you like? What do you feel comfortable with? Because he sees the game that way. That and most people's minds aren't that way till they're 25, 26 years old in terms of understanding the game. He's really unique that way. But he has a ton of charisma, and he's an alpha. He's got a, you know, he's not afraid of the moment, and that's a very rare type young man.
Before we let you go, so as you get ready for this whole process, take us inside what you have to do now. You guys have to quarantine, I would imagine, for a few days, and I know the Big Ten was a leader in testing you guys every single day, all the Tier 1 personnel. So what is this week like as you try to get a team ready to win a championship in a pandemic?
Yeah, it's very different. There's no doubt. We obviously stayed here in Indy. We tested last night about 10:30 with the NCAA. We've been doing the Big Ten testing, but we tested with the NCAA. We're quarantined in our rooms, and we're all on one floor of our hotel. I just had breakfast brought to my door. so we're stuck up here. We'll have a second test today. We won't practice today for obvious reasons. We're in the hotel. They've set up the convention center with 12 or 13 courts. You'll get practice times in there. It's a walk, you know, across the street, basically, and that's where you're at. And we've brought Peloton bikes. We've got gaming systems. We actually bought a portable basket. So that's in our meeting room, so we could go in there and shoot free throws. We've got Nerf footballs, just where our guys can stay together in a meeting room. We get all these, I guess, monitors that if we're too close to somebody for too long, it'll start beeping at us. So it is very different. And, you know, you're not usually you in Final Four, Cap, you see everybody and milling around, and it's fun and vibrant. It's quite a bit different. We're going to be in a hotel and indoors a great deal of the time.
So you're basically locked in watching tape and maybe a little Netflix today, and that's it.
That's it. We'll start on Drexel here, and when I'm done with you, and then one game at a time, and maybe a little Netflix. Find out what you recommend something. You on a good show on Netflix that I need to jump on?
Yeah, there's a few different things out there that I highly recommend. Schitt's Creek is a great show. Awesome. Meller, you got a better show for him?
No, but you can't say that on the radio.
It's a TV
Even when
show.
You got the coach of a number one seed, you cannot say that word on the radio.
You guys got a better recommendation for him? Give him a show. Guy needs to relax a little. Right? Got some long grind ahead.
Yellowstone. Yellowstone's a good watch.
Awesome. Well, I've seen that one. I tell you what, I think I'm gonna start rewatching. I think I'm gonna go back to Peaky Blinders and rewatch that again.
Great show.
Absolutely one of the best. It's one of my favorites. Well, I may do that just for sheer enjoyment.
We are rooting for you. We will be bothering you each round because we're all in, man. Want to see you win a championship.
Thanks, Cap. I appreciate you guys, man. You guys are the best.
You too. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
There he is. That's Brad Underwood, head coach of the Illini.
Sidebar, may I approach?
You may.
Okay.
Brought to you by Kenneth Allen.
Hold on, Danny. So, I mean, how many times do you have to go through this exercise of this show? We cannot say the name of the show. We can't say the name of the Levees. We can't use the Levees show's name.
Call it S Creek.
Okay. S Creek.
Because you can't use that word otherwise, even though it's spelled differently, right?
Yeah, S-C-H.
All right, have you really ever seen Peaky Blinders, Cap? Because when he said it, you're like, great show, great show.
I have seen some of Peaky. I have not finished the whole thing, but yes, I have. It's a great gang show. I mean, a mob show. Yes, I have. It was recommended to me by a friend. My friend Dylan said, you got to see that show. So I started watching it. I got a lot backed up to watch.
Once again, we cannot say the name. I know we're trying to avoid the topic, but I'm not going to avoid it because it's me. We can't use that.
That's why
that
we
name.
Love you.
Yeah, we have to. We got to go circle right back. So it sticks in your brain. I can't use that name. You got to remember that. We're not trying to get kicked off the air because of you.
You could pay the FCC fine if you want to keep saying it.
So did the New York Post too far?
Tell him, Danny.
You heard that right.
Danny.
Did the New York Post go too far?
Danny's
triggered. That's next.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
You want to tell that story on the air?
One day.
Wow.
Anyway, so
it happens, right?
I subscribe to the New York Post because I enjoy reading like some of the nonsense that they have in there.
Sure.
But it's a wildly popular paper in New York. Their covers, front and back, are always daily must look at just to see because they don't have any boundaries there.
Entertaining.
Correct. And Sylvie saw the cover of today's New York Post and said to Danny, "Hey, man, you better take a look at this." Danny, why don't you explain exactly what you saw when Sylvie first sent you the tweet?
Here's Danny.
Or the text.
It's celebrating March Madness, right? And it's about after two, you know, how there's a new generation of people that are going to be legends when it comes to March Madness. And on the back cover, you've got guys like Carmelo Anthony, John Thompson, Patrick Ewing, Christian Laettner, Steph Curry, Jimmy V, Mark Few, Juwan Howard. You've got the who's who when it comes to March Madness in college basketball.
And you said that's past and present.
Rick Pitino's on there. I mean, you've got people that have really created a name for themselves when it comes to March Madness in this basketball tournament. And then the one thing that's out of place, you've got a picture of Sister Jean. Like, honest to God. And, you know, I make a joke of the fact that, like, Sister Jean's the team's mascot and, like, get out of here with that. But when the New York Post is putting this together and they're listing people that have actually accomplished something, who have legacies in the game, legacies in the tournament, and Sister Jean, doesn't that take away from the people that actually accomplished something? And Sylvie's argument to me yesterday, because we were going back and forth, he knew sending this to me was going to piss me off. And his argument to me was, well, if you're a Loyola person, this is a good thing because it shines a light on the program.
Mm-hmm.
But my argument is Porter Moser made this program what it is. Those young men that play their asses off to get them into the tournament, those are the kids that deserve the light shined on them, not Sister Jean. And no disrespect to her. I'm sure she's a great part of that campus and she means a lot to that university. But she did nothing to get them to this point and to have her face in between Juwan Howard, Carmelo Anthony, John Thompson, and Rick Pitino is a joke.
Okay,
it's a joke.
So I screenshotted the picture.
Yeah.
And I blew it up to just where you had four faces that are next to each other. Danny, who's in the picture I sent you?
Here it is. It's literally to her left, Juwan Howard. Above her, Carmelo Anthony. To the right of that, John Thompson, Patrick Ewing. And directly next to her is Rick Pitino. Those are the people surrounding Sister Jean. Now, listen, say what you will about Rick Pitino being the kind of person he is. The man's at least accomplished something in the NCAA tournament that deserves credit, right?
He's bit the necks of every school he's been to. He's taking the blood from all of them.
But he takes them to the tournament. John Thompson, Patrick Ewing, you can't argue. Carmelo Anthony is one of the greatest college basketball players of all time. And Juwan Howard is a member of that Fab Five, changed college basketball. And then there's Sister Jean.
Okay, but I love Porter. Porter's a good friend of mine. I love Porter Moser. If I'm doing the cover of the New York Post, the sports part of it, the people in New York would be like, who's that guy? Who's that?
But there's people on there. You're like, who's that guy? I mean,
no, we know as sports people, we know who they are.
Sure.
I don't know why do you have this rash, just unreasonable feeling for Sister Jean?
Like,
I mean,
know.
But this is not this year. Since Moser's been in the chair, you have this issue with Sister Jean, and I don't understand why. She's not bothered. First of all, Danny, hold on a second, because I haven't spoken much here. I just want to tell you that Sister Jean means something to that campus, number one. And number two, Sister Jean, just like anyone that's elderly, someone up in age, like a Betty White and many others, they're always going to get attention because of their age and because they're still around. They still have a vibrant feeling for something, was acting or, in her case, rooting for Loyola. So while she's 101, is 101 years old, let's celebrate that she made 101. Celebrate the fact that she represents Loyola as far as the spirit of the team. Sister Jean's not taking any shine away from Porter Moser and Loyola's accomplishments. It's just irrational nonsense that you have over this lady.
That's 100, and you have. You're right. You haven't. We haven't heard from you this whole show. I disagree with you. Yeah. I could not disagree with you more that she's not taking shine away from people. When they made that run to the Final Four, those players gave everything they had to make that run. Porter Moser gave everything he had to make that run. And who did CBS choose to interview after the games? Her. How many points did she put up? How many rebounds did she have? So to say she doesn't take shine away, she certainly does. Her face is there instead of maybe somebody else that could represent the program. So I disagree there.
As a nun, what she's supposed to do is like, no, I don't have time for you.
Isn't a nun supposed to be a person that's, no, don't put me out in front of everybody else? Isn't a nun supposed to be modest and step back? You know me, I'm not a religious person, so I can't tell you the role of a nun. I just didn't think a nun's job was to be like, look at me, look at me, look at me. But
she's never done that.
That's beside the point. And I'm not saying she is. If ABC 7 wants to do a feature on her, God bless them. If the local news want to do it, if SportsCenter wants to do it, I see her place and I see her role and I see what she represents. I get it. I get that. But on this publication, when you're putting the best of the best from the game of basketball on the cover, she doesn't belong. If you want to do the little feel-good features on Sister Jean because she's 101 and she's a fan of the team, God bless you. Enjoy it. If you want to put her on SportsCenter and do a little, you know, a little package on her, have a way at it. But when you're putting together a back page to celebrate March Madness and the fact we're having a tournament this year, and you're putting the who's who of college basketball that have created names for themselves in the game,
but she's part
she
of this,
doesn't
but,
belong.
But as of late, she is part of the March Madness, though, Danny. She's part of this.
Correct.
Is she not? She's part of the storylines. If the media looks at Sister Jean and says, there's an elderly woman that represents Loyola, they get no shot at Moser because Moser gets his, believe me, he gets his share of radio and television interviews as well. Mm-hmm. But there's a lady there. It's a unique figure in college basketball. 101-year-old woman, a nun, that is representing the college.
I think it's awesome.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's a rational feel.
Yeah.
Over a woman that's just saying, hey, you know what? I'm rooting for my team.
And to emphasize woman is rude. I didn't, you know, I get where you're going with that. I don't like that she represents the school when there's people that play basketball that should represent the school.
Correct,
that deserve the shine.
Look, Cameron Crutwig's one of my favorite players to watch. He's the player of the year in the league. Porter Moser's a good friend and a great coach.
And he doesn't deserve credit. Like, he shouldn't get national spotlight now. People shouldn't know what Porter Moser looks like, right? That's what we're saying. It's okay for Tom Izzo, for people to recognize him by face, or Bill Self to be recognize him by face, or Brad Underwood recognize him by face. But Porter Moser doesn't deserve that.
I didn't say he didn't deserve it. What I'm saying is...
But by making her the face piece of the program is kind of saying he doesn't deserve it.
In our next segment, let's talk about this woman that's also on here, a Rutgers cheerleader. Is that a Rutgers cheerleader on the right hand side?
Correct. Next to Brutus of Ohio State and above Steph Curry.
Let's talk about her next. Let's break that
down. That's what March Madness is. I can't disagree more vehemently with Danny.
Well,
I can't.
I think, though, too, if you, from the New York Post point of view, Sister Jean, back in 2018, she is synonymous with that tournament. I think if you're a casual viewer of the NCAA tournament and you're not based in Chicago, you're just somebody who anywhere across the country tunes in and watches the tournament when it rolls around, like a lot of people who are college hoops fans do, all of a sudden Loyola goes on a run, right? And after the first weekend, I guarantee you, if Loyola was dropped after the first weekend, had they only won two games, made it to the Sweet 16, and then been bounced, I doubt she'd be on the back page right now.
Agreed.
It's because her story was told during that weekend, and then the Loyola went on a magical run where they made the Final Four in 2018. And you know what? They were an underdog, and she was the perfect face. And it's not like she's some, you know, Johnny come lately to the program. She has been
like
somebody
for like 90 years,
and she has supported the basketball team long before anybody, you know, knew who the hell the Loyola Ramblers were. And so it's not that it's not just that, oh, it should be Porter, because there's no chance in hell Cameron Crutwig or Porter Mosier would have been put on the page. Had they chosen not to put Sister Jean on there, they would have went with somebody else, not somebody from Loyola's program.
Agreed.
I hate to tell you.
Agreed. That was my point.
It is the equivalent of someone saying, and I used to argue with Fred about this, he says, you know, Tiger gets too much coverage. Like it's so much Tiger. Well, Tiger's one, it's winning, and the media dictates how much press that someone gets, right? It's CBS. It's True TV. It's the college basketball writers and media that says, hey, you know what? Here's someone that represents the fandom of college basketball. Here's Sister Jean.
Now, you want to be pissed. What the hell are Brutus the Buckeye and Bucky Badger doing on this? That's the question.
You anti-mascot, Danny? Are you good with the mascots being there?
Brutus and Bucky? You glad they're on there?
What have they brought to the table?
I guess nothing.
Then we should have a segment on that. And let's get rid of those two, too.
Let's do it.
Let's get rid of those two as well. And the cheerleader from Rutgers.
I just think it's disrespectful to the people at Loyola that actually accomplished something. This program has really turned around since Meller went there, right? In a short amount of time, this program's got some national prominence where they actually make some noise. And the man that deserves the credit, in my opinion, is not getting it because Sister Jean is more of the face piece. And it's nothing against her. I'm not, like, poo-pooing an old woman who's a fan of a team. That's not what I'm doing here. I just think that there are other members of the program that actually accomplished something that do deserve some shine.
When I think of Loyola, I think of his Porter first, his players, number of great players that he has on that team. Mm-hmm. Sister Jean's somewhere in the team photo.
No doubt.
But she doesn't come to mind when I'm watching Loyola basketball. Jeff Hagedorn, the radio voice, he's also in my butt. But even before Sister Jean, just saying. I think about those. I think about the program. And I think about Loyola going to a different level even before I even think about Sister Jean. I don't think about Sister Jean until she actually is on TV. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. And I met her, a wonderful woman.
Wonderful woman. I've been doing games around there for 30 years. She's awesome.
Porter, but Danny is right that Porter deserves his shine. But you know what? If it's not going to be CBS, if it's not going to be people in college basketball, we do it here. And I think that's all that matters.
You'll be happy to know, Danny, that Sister Jean hopes to attend the tournament this year.
I read it. She's praying for that.
Oh my God. Wow.
What's wow about that? That's
whole
what
topic.
She said.
This whole topic.
Well, what do you think of it, Cap?
I think Sister Jean became one of the darlings of that run.
Yeah.
I think people looked at that newspaper in the back of the Post and went, oh, yeah, I know who that is. I love Porter. You put Porter and Crutwig there and people are like, who's that? That's just a fact. Put the coach of Drexel on there. People are like, who's that? Yeah, they're in the tournament. Great. Sister Jean was everything that was pure and good.
Don't worry about it, Danny. You're going to get your wish. Kids, keep in mind, if you take a look at that picture, the vampire is right over Sister Jean. You'll get your wish. Don't worry.
The tea now.
I need some blood, Sister Jean.
All right. Shot or no shot is next.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Phil Cerronis.
Shot or no shot brought
Phil
to you by
Phil Cerronis.
PointsBet Sportsbook is now here, and you can visit them at Hawthorne Racecourse, Experience Illinois' premium sportsbook. But first, download the PointsBet app, get $100 in free bets, and you deposit $20 with the code ESPN. Danny!
That's why I see him in the shot.
No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
All right, Danny, here we go. A shot or no shot right here on Cap and J-Hood.
Gentlemen, running back Aaron Jones reached an agreement on a four-year deal with the Green Bay Packers. The deal is worth $48 million. It includes a $13 million signing bonus. Shot or no shot, when the time comes, probably in about 2 years, the Bears will re-sign David Montgomery to a similar deal.
That's a great question. Similar deal.
No shot. No shot. Good player.
Mm-hmm.
He's not as good as Aaron Jones. That's just a fact. Yeah, no shot.
Similar deal, no, Danny. I would say no shot to that, but re-signing him to a sweetheart of a deal, sure. I like what I saw from Montgomery when Nagy actually decided to utilize his running back. Montgomery kept running the football like, I better do what I can do with this football because I don't know if it's going to be my last carry.
Correct.
That's how he performed. Like, this is going to be my last game. I better do what I can do.
And I like him very much. Good player. $48 million for David Montgomery? No. Not based on what we know today.
So I will say no shot to that at this point in time, Danny. It's a good question.
All right, gentlemen, get out your pens as I lay this out for you. Right. Bill Barnwell on ESPN.com suggested four possible trade scenarios for Russell Wilson. Okay. Only one of the four involved our Chicago Bears. Here it is. The Seahawks get Sam Darnold from the Jets. They get Edge Bradley Chubb. They get the number 9 overall pick in 2021 and the 2022 first-round pick from the Broncos. The Broncos get Russell Wilson. They get a 2022 third-round pick from the Seahawks and a 2022 fourth-round pick from your Chicago Bears. The Jets get wide receiver Tim Patrick, a 2023 fourth-round pick from the Broncos, a 2023 third-round pick from the Seahawks, and your Chicago Bears get quarterback Drew Lock. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, Drew Lock competing with Nick Foles next season for the starting job gets you excited.
No shot.
Wait a minute, Danny. Wait a minute. What about the Bears' end of this?
The Bears get Drew Lock.
It sounded good until you see the Bears ending up with Drew Lock.
Right, and then I think it was Pro Football Talk. I read a bunch of stuff this morning, and they said Mitchell Trubisky far more attractive than Drew Lock. Stop.
Far more, I think, is a little bit of a stretch, but all right. No, I don't think the Bears can go through this again. Can you? Going to get screwed by the Denver Broncos again?
Yeah, no shot.
We already went with this with Cutler, right?
Yeah.
If Drew Lock was that good, if they felt like there was still some room for him to grow, he wouldn't be part of a trade.
Correct.
Drew Lock, to me, when we talk about – it's funny, Mellor, when we talk about young quarterbacks, Lock's name never comes up, and there's a reason, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you this, though. The reason that it's intriguing, because if you paid attention to the scenario, and I know I laid out a lot, the only thing the Bears are giving up here is a fourth-round pick.
Yes. You also have
says enough.
You also have Broncos getting Wilson and the Seahawks getting Darnold. So I wrote down.
Yeah, the Broncos get Wilson. They're the big winner there. Mm-hmm. And the Seahawks get Sam Darnold. They also get a number 9 overall pick in 2021.
And,
so that's a
and Bradley Chubb.
Yeah, and Edge Bradley Chubb.
The old USC tie there. Little Carroll, little Darnold figuring
right.
it out.
Right. Drew Lock has not shown enough at the NFL level where you would want to give up. Even a fourth round pick. I think he's proven to you that he's not the answer to whatever the question actually is.
Whatever we're giving up or get, it doesn't matter to me.
You're that much closer to having to make a salary decision on Drew Lock. You just draft a rookie.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's not the guy, at least what we've seen at this point.
What likely could be a stopgap year for the Bears in getting someone. I mean, the stopgap is Foles. They already have that on the roster. But if you're going to do that again, and I agree with Cap. You got to draft one. For sure you got to draft one. But if you don't come up with anything here in this offseason, if it's not Wilson, you have a stopgap. The stopgap cannot be Lock in a trade scenario, because laying that out, that doesn't help the Bears at all.
Agreed. That's an awful deal.
That's interesting, though.
Danny. All right, gentlemen, sticking with the NFL. The NFL and the Players Union are discussing whether to try and make it mandatory that the players have COVID-19 vaccinations before the season begins. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, the players would agree to such a forced ordinance in order to be eligible to play football in 2021?
That's a hard sell for some of the black players in the league. That's a hard sell. Of course they want to be on the field, they want to be able to play, but if the Players Association says, hey, you got to take a vaccine to play, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, because black or white, you're going to have some players who go, I'm not taking it. I don't want it. You're going to have others that sign me up, let's go.
Yeah.
They tried to make the flu shot mandatory a few years back, and that did not go over well. That was just a flu shot.
See, some people don't believe in that, Danny. Some just don't. I mentioned black players because Stan Van Gundy brought it up in a press conference. I don't know if you saw this over the weekend with him in the New Orleans Pelicans. He realizes the history of black people being pretty much guinea pigs for certain vaccines to find out whether that's going to work or not. that has gone through and passed down through generations. And that's, I mean, that's not saying it's for everyone, but for some, they're like, no, I'll pass on that. And you have every right to do that.
No question. It's your body.
You know what's interesting, right? So they asked LeBron James if he was going to get vaccinated. Now, LeBron's outspoken. He's honest. He's great with the media. He kept that to himself. He would not reveal whether or not he was going to get vaccinated.
Smart. Yeah. that is smart. You know why? Because it's someone's individual right. There's no need to broadcast it if you don't want to.
Correct.
Or you can stand on your mountain and say, hey, you know what? I'm not taking it, or I am taking it. But it's your individual right.
Agreed. Danny.
Gentlemen, shot or no shot, daylight savings time is kicking your ass on this Monday morning.
No shot. I'm actually pretty good.
Yeah, no shot. That's so overrated.
I am dragging like an MF-er.
Again?
Today.
He keeps bitching about daylight savings time in here.
Really?
Yeah, it bothers me. You guys a fan of it?
Yeah.
It's what fine. Do you mean?
Not.
I mean, it's not like I'm not going to be out there championing it.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
It's nonsensical in 2021 that we still abide by something that was...
I got way bigger fish in my life to fry. I'm not worried about... Okay, whatever. Tell me what time it is. I'll be where I got to be.
No, I'm fine, actually, today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine. Like, I feel the same, actually. Yeah. I don't know why. I
didn't even think about
it. It's funny. Cap had to remind me on Saturday.
I said, hey, don't forget... Daylight savings
time
tomorrow. Don't
forget, turn your clock ahead.
Did you have any clocks that you had to manually change?
Mindy did them all, but I did not.
So you had multiple clocks that had to be changed?
Yeah, the microwave, and we have a wall clock in our dining room that she changed.
So that's two.
And then the coffee maker. That's it.
Three.
Car.
I had two cars, two Boses, the stereo. That's four, right? Then the microwave is five. My alarm clock, my two alarm clocks.
Yes, good call.
The my front one and my backup. So was that eight?
And I haven't even looked in my car. I don't know. I probably
your
do.
Your car does it itself.
Okay,
I guarantee you, your car does it itself. We were one microwave away from not having to do anything.
Just a microwave.
Obviously, the cars. I'm not counting the cars. I'm just talking in the house.
What about coffee maker?
One microwave away from. Not having to change anything.
Do not have a coffee maker?
It doesn't have a timer setting on it.
Got it. You just come down and flip it on.
Yeah, we don't use the timer setting, so we didn't buy that one. So one microwave away.
What about your watch?
I don't wear a watch. I got a cell phone that has a clock on it.
Apple Watch, but that's hooked to my phone. It automatically.
Do you guys finally feel comfortable enough to trust your phone? If for whatever reason, that rare opportunity on that, if you had to wake up the next Sunday morning and your alarm set, well, you have alarm clocks. If you use your phone as an alarm, though, I'm curious. Never. Do you trust your phone enough to do the update at night to spring ahead and still, if you still had to be somewhere yesterday morning?
I can't trust my phone as an alarm clock. I'll sleep right through it. I will. If it's my phone,
yeah,
I'll sleep right through it.
Oh, that's my alarm. And then I have Alexa. Plays Bruce Springsteen to wake me up.
Oh, nothing like waking up to that droning.
Okay, maybe.
I mean, how about some mood music? Not like...
The song's actually Waiting on a Sunny Day. I like sun, so boom.
I don't know how that song goes, but...
My phone goes off at 3:50. My Alexa plays Waiting on a Sunny Day at 4:10 to make sure I'm up.
You want to hum a few bars for us?
No.
Sing it.
No shot.
Wait. You hum the Michigan Fight song. You can't give us that? Give us a few bars of that? Hail to the victors, valiant. Take that, valiant. Hey, Sparky.
What do you want? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
That's literally what we hear in the halls all day, every day. That exact version.
Because he's Shaft. He's got to have music.
Soundtrack of my life, Danny.
Doo-doos.
Cap and Hoodie spent Saturday together. Details. Coming up.
You know that's us, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Oh,
few housekeeping things. We've got baseball today, 3 o'clock. White Sox, Cubs, full nine innings right here in your home for White Sox baseball, ESPN 1000. And the DanceCast 2021, first college basketball tournament, 2 years, rolling on with nonstop games Friday. Listen to the games all weekend on ESPN 1000, plus find out what we're thinking and how we're betting during the games. Waddle Sylvie, Man Hoodie, Carmen Yerk, Black and Abdallah, and special guests live on our Twitch channel Friday afternoon starting at 2. We call it DanceCast 2021. Download the free Twitch app. Follow us at ESPN 1000 Chicago. That's our channel. DanceCast is brought to you by Alta Equipment, PropSwap.com, and your Chicagoland Mazda dealers. Again, ESPN 1000 on Twitch Friday at 2. We'll watch and react to the games together.
It should be a lot of fun, as always. And we're working a little blue there on that Twitch channel.
We are.
So who knows what's going to be said there.
Yep.
I know you watched, like I did last night, the Bulls defeat the Toronto Raptors 118-95. And you got your wish, Cap, because Coby White, you said he could be a spark plug coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. And so Billy Donovan, after the first couple of games here in the second half of the season, said, you know, I'm tired of us losing, getting off to slow starts, lagging behind defensively. And I thought that the Bulls looked inspired last night with White off the bench and also Wendell Carter Jr. coming off the bench.
Absolutely. He put those two guys on the bench. Thomas Satoransky and Thaddeus Young are in the lineup. They get off to a nice start. They've got the lead at the quarter. They got the lead at the half. They got the lead after three quarters. And they put down a out-man Toronto team who were missing Pascal Siakam.
Yeah.
Freddie Van Vliet. And there was one more that they were missing. I'm trying to remember who it was. Norman Powell played great for them. Kyle Lowry was okay. But I enjoyed watching the way that team played. I'm not telling you that Satoransky is the long-term answer at point guard. He's not. But he's a competent, professional floor leader who gets everyone organized. And I liked it a lot.
The highlight of the game is to see Wendell Carter Jr. enjoying himself on the floor. He had 12 points and 11 rebounds. It was, again, 20 minutes, but it was an inspired, quality 20 minutes. Now, again, Wendell Carter Jr.'s got to just realize, Cap, you're a big guy in there. Unless you just don't have the chops to get inside and take some punishment. If you're a big guy that just likes to just kind of, you know, shoot from the outside, don't want any contact, that's a problem. But Wendell was inside, and he was taking some beating inside. And you have to. And if you got the offensive rebound, just go back up strong. Stacey was someone on the broadcast yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that where you were going at the beginning of the season was right. You talk about Coby White. He gave you 13 points in 27 minutes. Hey, man, if you're just not going to guard, or if you're just going to take just my turn offense, you know, Billy Donovan didn't have time for that, man. He wants guys in there like veterans, like Satoransky and Young. And I know that they're not the future, Cap, but you're trying to win games now to find out where you are.
At the end of the year, look, they're not winning a championship. They're just not. At the end of the year, you have to be able to sit in a room, Billy, his staff, Arturis, Eversley, and all their scouts. Guys, what do we think of that guy? You better not be going, we should have played that guy more. You better know.
Yeah.
Is that guy somebody we want to hang on to? No. Is that guy something? Yes. That's what this year is about. It's not about. And if they make the playoffs, great. If they don't make the playoffs, it won't really bother me.
Yeah. It's an evaluation year. I get it.
That's it.
But I just like how Billy's like, you know what? I know we're trying to evaluate, but I'm trying to win some games along the way, man.
Correct.
Give me some guys that can help me win.
And I'm good with that.
Sato, I just need you to make sure that these other guys are better. I don't worry about your offense. Just make sure that these other guys are better.
Yeah, I did not see Zach getting so few shot attempts yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It was the fourth quarter. I had a 9-way parlay, same-game parlay. 9. I went 8-1. And some of them were at really short odds, but you put it all together, it was like a 12-1 parlay. The only one I lost was Zach LaVine to get 20 points. Like, really? Like, going in the fourth quarter, you'd taken 6 shots.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That also might have been in the plans.
Maybe. I need you to defer more.
Right.
But Thaddeus was really good.
I know you're big. I know we're both.
Pat Williams was great.
Pat Williams, he's my favorite Pat Williams since the GM of the Orlando Magic.
Who used to be the GM of the Bulls.
Yes.
Way back in the day.
How many kids?
19, something like that.
20 kids for Pat Williams.
Yeah.
But I know you like him. double digits. Looks like he's played before someplace. I know he's a kid. Looks like, wait, I've seen that style before. Kind of a piece of a team. Are you Dale Davis? Who are you, Pat Williams? It's interesting, right?
Maybe Kawhi. Maybe. That type.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's him, but that type. Pat Williams, may I approach?
Yes.
Pat Williams comes in to do the show with me and Waddle. This is Tommy came here in 07, so this is somewhere in the early 2000s. He's got a book out on parenting and having a healthy marriage. He's got 19 kids. Mm-hmm. 19! Comes in, here's the keys to a happy marriage, all that. About a year later, our producer comes to us and says, hey, Pat would like to come back. Okay. What's this book about? Surviving divorce.
Oh, God.
He went through a divorce. We're like, you just wrote a book on marriage.
Didn't see that coming.
Great dude, though. Great guy. 312-332-3.